New Yorker journalist and bestselling author Susan Orlean is visiting the University at Albany tomorrow night for an evening of conversation with me as part of the Creative Life Conversation series. The event takes place at 8 o'clock March 1st at the UAlbany Performing Arts Center. She'll be talking about, amongst other things, her brand new bestseller, The Library Book. Then, on Saturday, she will be doing her podcast, a live podcast, Crybabies, with Sarah Thayer, as well as the special guests, Michael Ian Black, Karen Chi, and Gary Steingart. It is a great pleasure to welcome Susan Orlean to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. An honor to speak to you again.
Oh, I'm thrilled. It's great to talk to you again, too.
Let me just tap in and find out what the last couple of months has been like with you talking about this amazing book, The Library Book, and what that journey has been like for you.
Oh, it's really been pretty amazing. The book was not easy to write. It took 6 years. And during those 6 years, there would be days when I would look in the mirror and say to myself, I'm writing a book about libraries. People are going to immediately think it's incredibly boring. And I worried. I really did worry. I also thought, I'm writing about an event, this library fire. It was the largest library fire in American history, but it happened in 1986 and no one died. And again, I worried and I thought, are people even going to be interested in this? And the response has been extraordinary. I think that what drove me to write the book, which is this enduring affection for libraries and curiosity about libraries and attachment to them, is something that a lot of people feel. And that's been one of the great pleasures, is seeing how much people have enjoyed just reconnecting with their memories of libraries and their passion for libraries. And especially at a moment when we have all been warned that libraries are obsolete and that they're a thing of the past and we don't need them anymore. I love the contrarian nature of a book about libraries, having been a New York Times bestseller since the day it came out. It's showing that, no, libraries aren't obsolete, and we feel a great attachment to them that I find really quite exciting and kind of just heartwarming.
There is the nostalgia, but as you write in the book so beautifully, there is also the understanding that you have, that you come to in the book, that they are still so amazingly vital and important to such a large segment of the population.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to make that distinction, which is, yes, there's a tremendous amount of nostalgia about libraries because most of us, many of us, first went to the library as children. And I explored a lot of my feelings about that, those memories. But libraries are not timepieces. They're not these kind of dusty, fusty, musty, old museums of books. They're vital institutions that have really adapted to this moment in time, and they're very much part of this moment in time, and they're not, it's not like going to see a butter churn at Williamsburg and feeling the sort of nostalgia about the way things used to be. The wonderful fact is that this isn't just an intuition. This is supported by the numbers, and the visits to libraries are up. The number of books being checked out is down slightly, but the number of visits to libraries across the country are up in the last several years. And libraries have embraced their role as being these multimedia information centers. They've done great programming. They've really embraced the new role that they can play in our communities.
Give us a sense of how this book is like and unlike anything you have written before.
Yeah, that's a great question. There are some similarities. I get very interested in the history of the places I'm writing about. So there's quite a bit of history. I'm interested in unusual personalities, and there are quite a few in this book and in all the books that I've written about. I'm very interested in people who are passionate, and that is absolutely true in all of the books that I've written about. I also think that all of my books are indirectly efforts to explore some part of my own life. This very much was related to thinking about my mother and reckoning with my mother's dementia and eventually her death. And I think each of my books has explored some part of my private life through the lens of this bigger story. So in that way, it's a lot like all the other books I've written. On the other hand, this, you know, I would say this is more about an institution, and that isn't something I've written about before. I've written about crime. I've never written about arson. So I'm working my way through different crimes. But I think that it probably has more in common with the books I've written before, even though superficially it doesn't. The subject matter, obviously, is completely different. But thematically, I feel that there is a kind of resonance with my other books.
Because you can't, I mean, you look at it, as you say, you look at it on paper, and you can't think of a more different book from the library book of writing about Rin Tin Tin. And yet, as lovers of your work, we look at it and we say, well, that is a Susan Orlean book.
You know, it's funny. When I begin these books, each time I feel like, oh, this is a completely different subject. It has nothing in common with anything I've written before. But I think that if you're somebody who chooses your subjects, as I do, I think that many writers, and certainly this is true for me, you get drawn, even unconsciously, to some of the same kinds of subjects. And I'm very drawn to places that have a kind of rich history that is unexpected. I love a small event that reveals a big story, and that was very true with Rin Tin Tin and the Orchid Thief, that the initial entry point to the book was something quite narrow and focused, but to me it felt like I was just opening this tiny doorway and being let into this very big world filled with big stories.
As I mentioned, you will be with me on stage at the University at Albany tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the UAlbany Performing Arts Center as part of the Creative Life Conversation Series. Then on Saturday at 7:30 at Bard's Fisher Center, you are going to be doing a live podcast. And it's Crybabies. You and Sarah Thayer do this. You have amazing guests. How did Crybabies come about?
This is a very funny story because I think in many ways it's a classic Los Angeles story. Sarah and I know each other through our mutual friend, the late David Rakoff, who is a brilliant writer and just an amazing, amazing figure, and we were connected through him. One summer, I was going to be away for the summer, and Sarah rented my office to use during the summer. One day, she and I were chatting, and she said, "Do you like to cry?" And I said, "Yeah, actually, I love to cry." I said, I don't love to cry, but I cry a lot, and I love things that make me cry." And she said, "Well, I want to do a podcast called Cry Babies." And I said, "I'm in." And that was literally how it came about. We both just had this fascination with the music and books and movies and poetry and pieces of art that brought up this emotion. And the idea was that we would talk to guests who maybe shared our same affection for work that had that kind of power over us. So we just launched it just like that. And it really was a great pleasure. And we had many of the same ideas of what made us cry, but that was never essential. What was essential was we were both really interested in it as a phenomenon of the work that brought out strong emotions. And it isn't always that it makes you sad. Sometimes it's something that's so fantastic that you just tear up. And we've had such a great time talking to guests, because what makes one person tear up is often something where we just find it fascinating because we don't have that same reaction to it. So it's not all the predictable, obvious stuff. It's not all miracle on, or I shouldn't say miracle. It's not all the end of Toy Story, right? Although a lot of people do have brought up Pixar films because they definitely make you cry. But it's a really interesting way to talk to people. It's a really interesting opportunity to hear what moves people. And I think Sarah and I are both really interested in that.
You have a great lineup of guests for the event at the Fisher Center. Michael Ian Black, who is one of my favorite performers and just a very talented man. Karen Chi, who is a writer and comedian, correct?
That's right. Brilliant, funny, and she's going to be a wonderful addition.
And when you think Cryer, you think Gary Steingart.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting because we have had a lot of people on the show who are very funny. And I don't think it's at all a coincidence that funny people think a lot about this stuff that makes them cry, since the emotions are not very far apart on the spectrum of human sensation. The things that move you either to laugh or to cry. And it's not, I think, any sort of accident that those people often come with lots of ideas of what makes them cry.
For folks who want to be a part of that event, they can find out more by going to fishercenter.bard.edu. fishercenter.bard.edu. It is a live podcast at Bard Fisher Center on Saturday night at 7:30 at the Fisher Center. fishercenter.bard.edu. And again, tomorrow night, you will be with me on stage at the UAlbany Performing Arts Center as part of the Creative Life Conversation Series. We ought to have a good chat.
I think so. I can't wait. I would say, not to flatter you, but you're just about my favorite interviewer. So this to me is a real delight.
Well, I thank you very much. That is lovely to hear from you. And I as you know, I've been a huge fan of your work, and I enjoy the prospect of talking about it and talking about your creative life tomorrow night. That event is free. You can find out more information by going to our website or going to the New York State Writers Institute. Susan Orlean, I will see you tomorrow night. Thank you very much. Travel safe and have a wonderful pair of events in your back at home.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's great to talk to you, and I can't wait to see you.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more about the Writers Institute event by going to the New York State Writers Institute webpage. And for more information on the podcast, you can go to fishercenter.bard.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.